This is Windy City Sports Talk, hosted by Will Hatzel. Windy City Sports Talk features all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears,
the Bear,
Bulls,
the Bulls,
Blackhawks, Cubs,
holy cow,
and White Sox.
You can put it on the board, yes!
It's time to talk Windy City Sports.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Windy City Sports Talk. Hope everyone is doing well and enjoying the summer that seems to be flying by. Can't believe it's already July and we just got through with the 4th of July holiday. Well, the last couple of episodes here, we have explored different topics like virtual reality, the XFL, the return of the NHL, and some things like that. But I think it's finally time to kind of turn the focus back on Windy City Sports. And today's episode has really been a long time coming, obviously, with everything going on in the world and transitioning this show from a radio show to a podcast. This topic has kind of been put on the back burner, but I think it's a good time to talk about this now, especially with sports slowly starting to come back, apparently, hopefully, if everything stays on schedule. So this episode, I want to talk about all the changes that have happened with the Chicago Bulls a couple months back, specifically with the front office, and what the organization's future might look like in the coming months and even in the coming years. And I want to have a special guest join me today in this discussion. He's my longtime friend and former radio partner, Zach Kyleman. You guys know him. He's been my go-to expert on the XFL. And we have had discussions about the Bulls in the past on the radio. So I figure he's a good source to bring in here with some good knowledge. And I want to have another great basketball discussion with him about the Bulls. So I'm going to bring Zach in now. Zach, thank you so much for taking the time out to hop on the podcast today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Will. It's going to be a good little discussion here. I mean, honestly, just to start off, very exciting time, at least right now, to be a Bulls fan, if you're looking at what could be coming up. So, let's get into this. I'm excited to discuss all that is Chicago Bulls basketball.
Yeah, man, it's like a refreshing feeling to know that there's, you know, that there's been a change. You know, I'm never one to promote or root for people losing their jobs or whatever, but I think it came time for there to be a change at the general manager position and even the executive vice president of basketball operations. Before diving into all the details and everything, are you pleased that this decision was finally made to the front office?
Well, I think it took a little too long is the thing. And, you know, the Reinsdorf family, they have been notorious to let these positions at least have some leeway, almost to a extent that seems not beneficial to the Bulls in general. But, you know, I think they realized, especially with loss in ticket sales that was going throughout the last few seasons and just the negative type of culture that fans have towards the Bulls, that it was time. It was time to move on from the Garpax era. We had run its course. We had had some fun, but it became stale and the two were trying to kind of stitch together a roster that did not seem, at least at the time being right now, it did not seem to be helping anyone in the case of the Bulls branding and as a fan relations type of moves for Bulls fans in general. So this is needed. And I actually really like who they picked up for their VP and for their GM positions, and makes me very excited for what is going to be happening at least come next basketball season, whenever that is.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think these moves, I mean, honestly, I've been rooting for front office moves for a couple of years now. This is something that it's not a brand new issue that just kind of came about this year. This has been, it seems like ever since the glory days of when we had Derrick Rose and Lou Alding and Joakim Noah and Carlos Boozer. And once those glory days were over, this team, this organization has just struggled to draft quality players that end up being foundational pieces that you build around that end up sticking. There's been a lot of failures in the draft and a lot of disappointment with free agency. Now, you can't really put all the blame on we can't really put any blame on John Paxson and Mark Gar Foreman in terms of, you know, the Derrick Rose injuries like that. That was a shame. Even Joakim Noah, I think Joakim Noah could have been a premier defensive player, one of the best centers in the NBA for a couple more years, even after he won NBA Defensive Player of the Year. But then injuries got to him too. However, you know, you can only have so many failed attempts with bringing in new stars, whether it's free agency or in the draft. You know, you hear more and more details these days, especially I think today, July 8th, the day of us recording this podcast, it was the 10th year anniversary around this time for the big three to form, for LeBron to make his big decision. So, and we've learned that Chris Bosh was literally ready to sign the deal to come to Chicago, but, you know, he got enticed to go join Dwayne Wade and LeBron in Miami, which totally understand. So, you know, some of those things you can't really control, but, you know, missing out on Carmelo Anthony sweepstakes in 2014 because you couldn't throw in a couple more million dollars for the guy, or again, there's just been a lot of failures since trying to find a way to look past the Derrick Rose injury, and then even when they traded him. So definitely was a long time coming. And before we get into the new guys, I just have to ask you this because I kind of roll my eyes and laugh about this. So you have John Paxson, the former executive vice president of basketball operations. He wasn't fired, and that's something we need to say too. He wasn't fired. He was demoted to senior advisor of basketball operations. So essentially the same department, just a different position, just a little bit lower. And then you have former general manager Gar Forman, who was relieved, not fired either. The rumor has it is he won't be involved in basketball operations anymore. But I haven't found anything new on this, but from the rumors and the speculation, the things I've read over the last couple of months is that the rumors indicate that he's going to work in the scouting department or in some official capacity still with the organization, though nothing official has been announced. I kind of laugh and roll my eyes because I think this is just Jerry Reinsdorf being overly loyal and overly committed again to guys that their time has come. Why they still are going to be in the middle of still be a part of the organization, and you know, since they have tenure and power, their voice is going to be heard still. I don't know how much will be followed, but you definitely know that their voices are still going to be heard if they're still within the organization. And I'm curious to know your thoughts on Paxson and apparently Gar Forman still being within the organization. What are your thoughts on that?
But you know, that's why I kind of was scratching my head when I read, especially about John Paxson, because this is something newer, because everything I'd read about Gar Forman was that he was fired. But I mean, if he's relieved and is part of the scouting department, I guess that just topples on to, okay, if I'm Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf, why am I keeping these two around, especially if Arturis is going to build his own front office to help rebrand the Bulls? Well, and the only thing I can think of is, like you're saying, respect. I mean, those two have been managing the Bulls for way longer than they should have. But of course, they're the ones that are talking to the Reinsdorf family almost every day. And not to mention, you can even add on for John Paxson. I mean, John Paxton's, you know, if we're talking Bulls era of players and the glory days of the Chicago Bulls, he's one of those, you know, legends or, you know, long gone stories of that past of the early 90s, that first three-peat. So he gets that little cherry on top as well to say, you know, I'm kind of important to the organization's history as a whole. So I don't know. I think it's more of a sign of respect. Honestly, I think they get their spots, but I'm really hoping that they do not get as big of a voice when it comes to decisions like this. I mean, yes, they might have titles, but I'm almost hoping that those titles don't mean as much as they should. I mean, Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley should be the ones that are conducting all the decisions, and they can take opinions from those two on whatever those roles may be. Of course, with Paxson being an advisor, they would, but you know, they shouldn't be having those two influence decisions, at least to a great deal, unless they follow the mindsets that they're following.
Yeah, exactly. And in a way, I kind of applaud, you know, as much as I could be critical, I should say it is very impressive that Jerry Reinsdorf is a loyal, you know, owner, loyal employer to his employees. You know, I feel like you don't get that in a lot of places. I do agree with you, though. I feel the same way. I hope that, okay, they're still within the organization and maybe they could help smooth the transition process from, you know, the old regime to the new regime. But I'm really hoping Gar and Pax don't stir up any conflict or end up having a major say in the future direction of this team, because again, the reason why you demoted them or got rid of them is because you want a new, you want to go in a new direction. You want a new mindset in that front office. So moving on to the focus two, of course, the two new guys, you got Arturis Karnisovas, who was hired to be the new executive vice president of basketball operations, and Mark Eversley as the new general manager. Quick couple of notes about them. Arturis Karnisovas, 5 years in the scouting department for the Houston Rockets in international scouting, which could bode well. Maybe he could help the Bulls look for the next Nikola Mirotic that they had a few years back. He also spent 7 years in the front office as a front office executive recently with the Denver Nuggets, who he played a big role in helping them become the contender in the West that they are right now. Did play some college ball at Seton Hall, where he averaged 18 points a game, shot 41% from three. So he excelled at a position in a spot where the NBA is going, you know, continues to head in that direction of 3-point shooting and whatnot. And then you got Mark Eversley, again, new general manager. He's worked with the 76ers, the Wizards, and the Raptors in the past. He recently was the assistant general manager in Toronto. Then he also has experience working in the retail and marketing departments at Nike. So I think they hired two guys here, Zach, with really good resumes. And I think they have proven resumes, too, not only just experience and that they've been around, but they've been around winning cultures, they've been around winning teams, and they've built successful teams. I mean, just looking at Toronto still these days, even without Kawhi Leonard, they're still one of the best teams in the East. You look at the Denver Nuggets, they don't have a true top five NBA league superstar, but they're still up there in the running, and they're hanging up there with the big guns in the Western Conference. So I'm pretty impressed with the signings. I have a lot of faith. Curious to hear your thoughts on both of these new hires.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really excited about Arturis in particular, mainly because I just got to look at the Denver Nuggets. And the Denver Nuggets, how they're built, is kind of what I am picturing Arturis Karnisovas is going to build as the Chicago Bulls. You know, and this is the type of basketball team I prefer. It's not the one that people think wins in the NBA as much, but it's the one that I prefer the most. And that's a team-oriented first team with stars that either are farm-fed through the draft or through the NBA G League, and they help develop those stars into talent that either can go elsewhere as for trade bait, or they can bring in extra talent because they start winning culture, and then you help bring in those massive contracts with other players that might be on the free agent market. And that's kind of the history of what the Denver Nuggets have been in the last 3 years with Karnisovas as the general manager under Tim Connelly. That's something I'm excited to have if that's the case and the way they're going to build the Bulls. Because, look, the Bulls, if you look at the roster, I think that it's generally has some decent talent on there that you can win some basketball games with right now. The question is, you know, who's he going to put as coach to see the vision as let's take this first year, conduce what works best with this roster, and then move on through year two. And I think that's what his first goal is going to be, is to find the best pairings team-wise that work together. And that's why I'm really excited for him, is that that's his style of management. That's his style of team building. And I really want that to come out. You know, and then you look at Mark Eversley as well, and you look at how he did as a player personnel for the Philadelphia 76ers and his hand and everything that the 76ers have had with the process. And I just like the two backgrounds for the fact that they're very much two talents that have been known to find the right guys in the draft. They've been able to at least analyze talent to where they can build a team that can coerce and mesh correctly. And that's something I think the Bulls first off need right now. Again, I mean, this roster has Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, and Lauri Markkanen. And we're also forgetting, of course, Thaddeus Young and Wendell Carter. I mean, I would say at least three of the five guys I just mentioned are talents that should be decent offensive scorers and or defensive talent that you can build upon. And I do not see how at least year one they will not be able to find some way of at least progressing in the right direction. So I'm excited for these two, just for they're able to see what this roster can be at its best, I think, rather than where John Paxton, Gar Forman were more just trying to stitch something together and hope they could get a playoff bid to keep their jobs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, and you know, and I've said this in the past with you, is that I believe that the Bulls, I said this at the very beginning of this 2019-2020 season, was that I truly think the Bulls had enough talent to compete for like the eighth seed. They're not going to be a top contender, but I don't see why they can't go into, you know, compete for a playoff spot. And unfortunately, they were nowhere close. They're not even in the, you know, NBA restart plan. They might play if they end up doing that eight-team basically participation trophy tournament thing that's rumored to happen in Chicago maybe. But the point is they're not even playing in the NBA restart to finish the season and get into the playoffs. So it's another failed year under Jim Boylan and a roster that, in my opinion, should be way more competitive than what it was. They even acquired some pretty decent talent, I thought, when they traded for Otto Porter last year. I thought signing Thomas Satoransky was great. I thought Thaddeus Young was a fantastic signing after, you know, being around Indianapolis, you know, during our Ball State days and watching Thad Young play for the Pacers. I thought he was going to be a tremendous boost. However, none of this has panned out so far. But before getting into more details with the roster, which I think I totally agree with you, is that the new management is going to be great with evaluating talent and how to build the team going forward. But, you know, who runs the team for the front office? That's the head coach. And Jim Boylan has been very polarizing in his couple of years here in Chicago. Most people want to see him leave. The players didn't even like him when he took over for Fred Hoiberg. They were having players-only meetings starting off his tenure because he was working them too hard in practice. Now, that could be a debate for another day. What's too hard in practice for professional athletes? But whatever he did, he walked into that door and stepped on the wrong foot first and stepped on the toes of the players, and it's been downhill ever since. So do you think Jim Boylan returns next year or no?
I want to say no. I really do. I mean, I think the guy is a walking PR nightmare for the Chicago Bulls, if I'm being honest. And I don't want to see another year where I'm having to sit here and wait for the next podium disaster that Jim Boylan has for this team. Look, they're trying to rebuild the brand first and foremost, right? Right now, and I think you're thinking the same way I am. The Bulls are kind of a laughingstock in the NBA. We're at the low point right now. This is not your 90s Michael Jordan Bulls that everyone thinks are cool and the hip thing in town right now. If I'm sounding outdated, I'm not really, I just am using that language, but I mean, this is not the team that you want Jim Boylan coaching. You don't want him starting this out. I think they're going to, at least once a true off season starts. I mean, we're kind of in a semi off season with the way COVID-19 has made the NBA season this year. But, you know, I think once a true off season is in play, you're going to have Arturis and Mark Eversley sit down with Jim Boylan, and you're going to have those two at least just have some long discussions to figure this out and see what his true thoughts are. But I don't think your best move is to move forward with Boylan, even if he has a 2-year contract extension that Jerry Reinsdorf gave to him and he can use that as leverage. I don't think that's the case. And even to add on to the fact that he's been saying that he's confident that he's going to keep his job, I don't think that's the case either. I really believe they need to get someone that is a high-profile assistant from one of these playoff teams, whether it's Philadelphia or even Houston, which, again, I mean, Arturis actually has background as well with the Houston Rockets, so you want – or even the Denver Nuggets. You know, look at those teams. Look at somebody that is on one of those rosters that you might be able to build with and that you can work with to get things off to a fresh start. Boylan has run his course. He's looked overmatched as a coach for the Bulls, and I think his time is done. And I think Bulls fans in particular, I think that's the last piece now that they're saying, okay, you know, we love what you're doing over in Chicago, but if you keep Boylan, then you are, I think that, and pardon my language here, I think you're half-assing it if you keep Jim Boylan in that seat.
Absolutely. I think if you're going to go as far as completely changing the front office, you should allow them to pick the coaching staff that they want to run this team, because whatever style of offense and defense that they want to run, whatever kind of players they want to draft and sign, it's got to coincide with the coaching staff and their philosophies. And, you know, it's amazing. Jim Boylan, he took over for Fred Hoiberg on December 3rd of 2018. So that was the Bulls were 5-19. So you're talking 24 games into the season. So he's really only coached the team for, he hasn't even coached the team for a full season yet, technically. Now, granted, both seasons that he's technically coached the last 2 years, I mean, it's not his fault he didn't get to coach an entire year because, you know, the virus this year and even last year, he didn't start the year as the coach. However, people are so fed up with, you know, he's weird when he talks to the media. The players don't like him. Like I said, they haven't exactly been a big fan. He's had questionable choices, takes out his best players like Zach LaVine when he should be in crucial, the final crucial moments of a game. There's too many headaches and too much drama there. And in my opinion, and as we kind of shift this towards, you know, player personnel and whatnot going forward, I'm more of a fan of keeping Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine and most of the team for that matter, and just get a new coaching staff and start developing whatever the plan is for the team going forward. And perhaps hopefully if the 2021 season could be normal, you know, depending on where we're at with COVID-19, if the 2021 season, we get a full 82 game season and everything's at least somewhat normal, then, you know, maybe we could, maybe the team could, you know, evaluate their options per se, because things do get interesting because Otto Porter does have a player option for next year. It's a $28.5 million player option. So I'm pretty sure he's going to take that at least and put up with the Bulls one more year, because that's a lot of money for one season. Chris Dunn and Shaq Harrison are both free agents. They're not really fantastic offensive options. They're more defensive specialists. And then you have Denzel Valentine, who's a free agent who I'm willing to bet they're going to let walk, because he's been a pretty disappointing player since they drafted him. And then lastly, you got Otto Porter Jr., then adding in Cristiano Felicio. They both have expiring contracts after next season. So that's going to free up $30 to $40 million in cap space. So in my opinion, then, I'm going to ask you your thoughts on this, Zach, if you agree with me, or if you would take it in a different direction. I think you come back with virtually the same team. You reevaluate, hopefully a healthier Lauri Markkanen, and pair him with Zach LaVine again, see what you can do in this year's draft, and then wait till after 2021 to hit the free agent market harder, and then you could evaluate what areas you want to work on. Are you going to make a big trade? Are you going to invest in more draft picks? Or, you know, what are you going to do? You kind of touched on it, is that, you know, they're going to need to come in here and get a year to figure out how they want to do things. But I think you first establish your culture with a new coach or new coaching staff in general, and you give your so-called foundational pieces another chance. Hopefully they're healthier. Hopefully they start off on a better foot with better management and better coaching. Curious, what do you think your thoughts are? Like, what would you do? Would you blow up the team, or would you kind of take a similar route to what I just said?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blow it up. Again, you have pieces to build around. The biggest thing that you mentioned is health. And, I mean, Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter Jr., these guys had, well, really sporadic seasons for 2019 and 2020 just because health issues. So you want to see these guys at their best with a full offseason to recoup, and then you jump into whatever amount of games this 2020-21 season is going to be, and you work with that roster. And I think part of this too, we've discussed this in the past, and something I was annoyed with Jim Boylan is, you know, they signed Thaddeus Young to this three year contract, $43 million contract, and they misuse him, in my opinion. So why not find a coach that can utilize what Thad Young's talents are as well, and get him into the start, at least in the starting rotation, or at least more into the rotation than he was being used in Chicago this past season. But health is the biggest key, as well as also utilizing the young rookie talents that you have in Coby White or Wendell Carter. Those in particular are all the pieces that need to be in account when discussing what's going to happen for 2021, 2022. Because if you evaluate after one season and you see, okay, either this roster can't work or we need to discard one or two key pieces either in a trade if we have the chance, then I think that's what you do. I think in particular, if we're looking at the roster for people that need to prove themselves for next year, I think Lauri Markkanen is really going to be in the spotlight. He's been with this team now for three seasons, going on four. you know, that's the person you have to ask, is he worth keeping around, or you're going to give him a larger contract? Is he proving his value at the draft pick that he was in 2017? So we're going to really have more of an eval year with the first year under Arturas and Mark Eversley, with Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. So don't blow it up. Give it one season and then see what happens. One thing I will say for certain, if I am these two guys, and this is me personally, and obviously there's some time on this deal, you know, don't even touch Zach LaVine. I would argue that he's definitely one of those pieces you build around. You make sure that he stays on that roster, and you make sure that I think he stays happy with what the Bulls are doing, because he has definitely grown since he has been traded to Chicago. He definitely has improved his play every year, and he is, I would say, borderline, if not the essential starter or person of star power that you know on the Chicago Bulls roster. And I would make sure that you either center an offense that is somewhat around his talents, or you start building to where he is one of the essential big pieces that makes the offense run at its best.
You know what? I just think I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not totally convinced that the future of this team is Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. I have more faith in Zach LaVine potentially being like the number two man, the number three man. I think Coby White has a good future. He could potentially pair up with LaVine and have like a really good 1-2 punch, you know, at the guard positions. I think Markkanen is still kind of a 50-50 shot. However, again, going into his fourth year, I'd give him one more shot. He's got to prove it. I mean, they're going to be having to think about the decision on whether or not he's going to get a new contract soon, because that rookie deal should be just about over with at this point. So again, that's why I think you're better off it being a prove it year, because let's face it, Anthony Davis isn't going to come to the Bulls. Heck, I don't even know if he's going to leave the Lakers, because he's got a good thing going with LeBron, and LeBron's probably after this season, probably going to hit free agency hard to acquire more, you know, talent to put around those two, since they're one of the top contenders to win the title. And who knows if things were normal, you know, we don't know how this restart plan is going to go, how everything's going to pan out. However, if it wasn't for that, I mean, I was really thinking Lakers and Milwaukee was a great possibility to be the NBA Finals matchup. So I don't know if you're going to see a big fish like Anthony Davis even consider the Bulls, even though he's from Chicago. However, after looking at free agency articles and whatnot, some writers have suggested that maybe Miami's Derek Jones Jr. could be a potential signee, maybe Portland's Kent Bazemore, maybe Memphis's Jay Crowder. I was curious to see your thoughts on, you know, what should they do in free agency? I think what they should do is maybe go for a Jay Crowder or Kent Bazemore, you know, patch up that and strengthen up that bench mob a little bit, and allow LaVine, Coby White, Wendell Carter Jr., and Lauri Markkanen, give them the platform to potentially shine and show you what they could do in 2021. And then you could, again, like I said earlier, after next season, you could push hard on deciding who's the future of your team, or who you might need to trade to go make a bigger move in the draft, or, you know, again, maybe in free agency before 2022, you go after a big fish. Curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to get a big fish. I mean, that would be wishful thinking for Bulls fans, but at this point, the Bulls, it's about rebuilding the brand, and especially towards players' perspective. I mean, if you're a star player and you've looked at Chicago the last two or three seasons, they are a laughingstock in the NBA. And, you know, the mismanagement or fan disgruntlement towards the organization as well. You know, again, the Bulls brand is not the same as it was even roughly 6 to 7 years ago under the Tom Thibodeau era, when we still had Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah and company all out there. So you're rebuilding a brand, not just for, you know, fans, but also for the players you're trying to attract. So, you know, realistically, yeah, someone like a Jay Crowder is probably someone you would be able to attract. I think, you know, I believe that the Bulls need more veteran talent on that bench mob just to help assist and also guide this young core that the Bulls have. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of talent that's young and raw. It just needs to be at least adapted and adjusted correctly. And I think, of course, a bench mob of sorts that has a little more of that veteran presence would do wonders. And veteran presence that's been on a winning culture would do wonders. I mean, Jay Crowder's been on a few winning teams in his time and has made an impact. I actually really liked him when he was back in Boston, and I would definitely have no problem if he came to Chicago. But they need talent like that, that, you know, they know what it takes to win. They understand what is needed for this team to be structured to start moving in the right direction. And without those pieces, I think you're going to have a little more of a tougher and harder grind in evaluating this team, or at least evaluating what the team can be under new leadership at the coaching position. And of course, what moving forward you would need as a more structured roster. So yeah, I think someone like a Crowder or Derek Jones, you know, you bring them in, you know, you get them in with that young core with, you know, and help out and see what works best and what would be best moving into, say, 2021, 2022. Because, you know, optimistically, we could hope the Bulls are restructured and could be that 8th seed playoff team and get in the national spotlight a bit, which would help, by the way, with getting a big fish the next season. But I still think even they're maybe even 2 years off from nailing one of those top stars in a free agent signing. Just like I said, they need to rebuild their brand. So the sooner they can do that, the better prospects they have to potentially land someone like that. But then you also keep in mind, Karnišovas over in Denver, that's not usually their MO. I mean, they signed Paul Millsap, and that was one of their biggest lucrative signings in Denver. So, you know, they can still consider it. But, you know, I would imagine also that rebuilding the team through natural talent will be number one. But you'll definitely take 2 years at the minimum, I would say, before you even consider big fish free agents to land in Chicago.
Yeah, I think best case, and this is best case scenario, hoping everything, all the dominoes fall in the direction you want, and that's, you know, healthy and productive years by, again, Wendell Carter Jr., Kobe White, Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, maybe some of the other guys too, who knows, and hopefully maybe they can land one or two decent, you know, second-tier level free agents next year that could potentially fit in well, and then, you know, and hopefully draft one or two decent players. And if you're coming in with a functioning team and with the new brand, at least the beginning of the new brand, like the structure looking, it's not solid yet. You know, it's like concrete that's not dry yet, but it's, you know, it's been formed and put together nicely. Now you're waiting for it to dry and everything. If it's starting to appear to look well, then maybe, like you said, in 2022, maybe 2 years from now, you're looking at the potential to, you know, land a big fish or at least start entertaining some discussions with some of these top free agents. You know, it's the fact that players don't even want to come here. They don't even want to consider it. There's no thought on, and okay, I know Chicago's not Miami where you have the beaches and you have hot weather throughout, you know, nonstop throughout the season. Okay, Chicago gets cold, but the culture, the, you know, basketball is built and grown. You know, they say that about Indiana, but Chicago is the same thing. You get so many, you know, players and fans. And again, like it's the house that Michael Jordan built essentially. So who wants to be that next version of Michael Jordan? Who wants to be the first team to bring a championship back to Chicago since the Jordan era in the 90s? You know, there's, in my opinion, there's other motivational factors there other than money and just being here to be here. But you have those playing cards already dealt to you, but no one wants to play with them if you don't, you know, if it's fake, if they know it's a weak establishment. So that's, again, what you're hoping the front office can change. And hopefully if they end up going with a new coach, which we both are in agreement of, can build a new culture, build a new brand. And hopefully maybe within 2 or 3 years, you could start competing for not only the playoffs, but you start competing to build that superstar level type of roster. And I think it can be done. It's not a for sure thing, but I'm just excited to know that we have new faces and a brand new mindset, some fresh ideas that could come in here and hopefully bring the Bulls into the next era of basketball, this new era of the way free agency goes, of the way play style is for top players, and how the three ball has become such an essential part of the offense. And One last question for you here, Zach, as we wrap up. Okay, we talked about free agency. We talked about coaching staff. We talked about the new guys at the top. You know, let's talk about the draft here real quick. I don't have tons of specifics on players and whatnot. I'm more concerned on kind of what position or what type of player they should look at in this year's draft. Just three that have come to my mind that I've done research on and have heard about. Small forward Patrick Williams from Florida State. Forward Jaden McDaniels from Washington. If they wanted to build up on their guard depth again, there's a really good combo guard and Emmanuel Quickly from Kentucky. You know, all guys that could provide an offensive spark to a team that really needs to find an offensive identity, I think, going forward. But curious to get your thoughts on, do you know of any players, or at least do you know of any positions or types of players you think they need to target in this year's draft to enhance the team for next season?
Honestly, Will, I would say Emmanuel Quickly was probably a pretty good assessment in my opinion. I would not mind seeing a combo guard on the Chicago Bulls of sorts, you know. But I mean, the Bulls are gonna have another top 10 most likely pick, is what's gonna be the bigger discussion here. And we'll get to see what the new duo decides on is the next quintessential piece for the Chicago Bulls. Right now, for me, it's kind of hard for me to assess what in particular they need, just because, you know, I more want to see what this roster can do with a different coach. Really, I think Quickly is a option that I would not want to pass on if he was available for Chicago to take. So I would I would stick with that recommendation, but just to make it short and sweet, and I don't really have as much on this point, but you know, I'm still on the point where, you know, let's evaluate what we have at hand and, you know, see what we can move forward with. You know, again, I mean, the Bulls have been in this position of top 10, top 15 draft picks for a few years now. So they're pretty, I mean, it's a really young roster. So you're going to have to evaluate what you all have from these top picks and then move forward. So all it is to me is Chicago's going to get another young top pick, but the bigger difference, of course, is we'll get a new management to hopefully evaluate better with talent. I will say on the point of who they should pick, I do agree with you. I do like Quickly out of Kentucky.
Yeah. I feel like the two positions they should target should include either the shooting guard position or small forward, because, you know, when you look at the shooting guard position, you have obviously Zach LaVine. He's going to be your starter, however, when he can't play point guard too, but you're going to have that nice starting duo of Kobe White and Zach LaVine. I think you need to build up the depth at the guard position, especially shooting guard, because you do have Thomas Satoransky coming off the bench. You know, he could play either position too. I mean, they're flexible. However, I think you need to replace Denzel Valentine. I would not bring him back. I'd love the Bulls to find in this draft a 3-point shooter. In all honesty, I wish they could find their next version of Kyle Korver, somebody that they can rely on to hit those big shots from around the arc. You know, it's something that this team has lacked, really, I would say, since they traded Kyle Korver, maybe after the days of Marco Bellinelli, who came shortly after Korver. So they need to find their next version of Bellinelli, Korver, really what they were hoping Denzel Valentine was going to be, but never panned out. Or, again, because you got to kind of start thinking ahead here, if you don't decide to keep Otto Porter after next season, because, again, he's got that $28.5 million player option, willing to bet he's going to accept it and come back for at least one more season, maybe you could draft the guy and start grooming him and developing him and see if maybe he could pan out to be your future small forward. But either way, I think you got all the positions covered. I think they're pretty stacked at power forward and center right now. And I hate wasting draft picks on centers personally, unless it's like a Zion Williamson type of player. I think you could go get a center in free agency, at least for right now. So in my opinion, look for that shooting guard that's hopefully a 3-point threat, and or start looking at grooming a potential future starter at the small forward position, because we don't know what the future is going to hold with Otto Porter Jr. So yeah, those are my thoughts. And Zach, thank you for coming on this podcast. I think it was a good one. I'm excited to, you know, I'm trying to gear this podcast back into talking more Windy City sports right now with the hopeful eventual return of sports. I know the MLS is actually starting up tonight with their tournament. So things are looking a little bit better, which is great. And I thank you for coming on the podcast. And hopefully maybe 12 months from now, we can do another podcast. And hopefully by this time next year, we have better things to talk about. And maybe we're talking about a team that's continuing its form in a better direction. And hopefully maybe talking about making them a contender in 2022.
Hey, I'm hoping so too, man. I'm looking forward to see what the Bulls have in store. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting sports back in the capacity that we're all just ravenous about. And I leave you off with a quote that Jim McMahon had at actually the Bears 100-year celebration weekend that you and me attended that we also didn't realize we were both that, funny enough. But the quote is, and it's actually from his panel with Mitch Trubisky, he was talking about Chicago fans in general, and this applies to the Bulls. He said this: if you love Chicago fans will easily love you back. So the thing with the Bulls is it's simple, you know, get the fans back on your side, and you know you're going to obviously have Chicago breathing life back into this organization, I think, from the start. So you know, I think we're all hoping that's the case, and that we all as Bulls fans can be proud to say we're Bulls fans again. And that's what's going to be exciting to look at in the future is, you know, I think we have a management that gives us a chance at that exact prospect.
Yeah, true. I like that. I like that a lot. And yeah, I'll never forget randomly finding you in the hallway in that big line we were waiting to get in for the first night of the convention. I'm like, hey,
what were the odds? What were the odds?
Yeah, seriously. It's a small world, you know, But yeah, like I said, man, I hope we can have a positive conversation talking about the fans coming back and talking about hopefully adding even more great talent and hopefully being this team being led by a better front office and a better coaching staff. I'm excited. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. We'll see what happens. But thanks again, Zach, for hopping on here. And I'll definitely get you on again pretty soon for something else, okay?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Either that or I'll see you on Beyond the Press Box recordings here coming up next week or so.
Yes, true, true. We'll talk about whatever the next exciting things are. So thanks again, Zach. I'll talk to you.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. You can find more episodes on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, be well.